back to Bethel. I'm going to go over quite a few different chapters, just reading a few verses. I'm going to start at chapter 28. And not that we're going to turn there, but in Genesis 26 and verse 3, God is speaking to Isaac, and he says to stay near there, which is Bethel. Bethel, the house of God. And he said, if you stay close here, I will bless thee. And now we go to Genesis 28, and want to read at verse 11. Let's start at verse 10. Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth. And the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest. To thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee, until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and said, how dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. But Jacob rose up early, we see that once again, that he rose up early in the morning, and took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of the city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. And let's stop there and look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you for salvation. Thank you for the hymns that we can sing. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And we thank you for that assurance that we have through the Word of God if we've trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. I pray that would be everybody's testimony here this evening. I pray as we look into the Word of God, you'd bless. Thank you that we can testify. Thank you that, Lord, we can have a Bible and a place to meet and enjoy the fellowship of the saints. Lord, you've been so good to us. Thank you that we can just enjoy one another's company. Thank you that we can partake of the Lord's Supper after this and remember your Son and his soon coming. And Lord, what he did for us on the cross. I pray, Father, you just bless now as we continue to look into the Word of God for a little while and speak to our hearts. I pray you'd meet the needs of each person that's here. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We just read chapter 28, the last half. Let's go to Genesis 31. And read the first three verses, talking about Jacob. It says, and he heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all his glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers, and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. And remember, Laban was always playing tricks on Jacob, and you know, you reap what you sow. Jacob was a trickster, and so he got a little bit of his own medicine. He reaped what he was sowing. But Laban thought, this is great, you know, he's doing this great work for me, he's a good worker. But when God was with Jacob, helping him with the cows and blessing all the cows that he was taking care of and so on, Laban got a little upset. And it's just an interesting verse where he says, the countenance, you know, the way he looked, wasn't smiling anymore. He was kind of looking a little angry. And Jacob thought, it's probably time to go. And that's what it says in verse 3. The Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred. Well, that's back to Bethel. And then look at verse 11. Verse 11 to 13. The angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob? And I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ringstraked, speckled and grizzled, for I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. and chapter 32, verse 9. 32, verse 9. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, return into thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. And then go down to verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. And then chapter 35, verse 1. And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God, that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. And I'll stop there for a little bit. We see a little bit of a story, and there's at least three times where God told Jacob to go back to Bethel. There was an original blessing that they were told, just, you know, that back with Isaac, even with Abraham, but, you know, you're going to be blessed in this area, in this place. And isn't it what we want to do? It should be our desire to be in a place of blessing, wherever that may be. And that is usually, or always, where God wants you to be. Whatever God's will is for your life. And it may not be the same for you as for me or anybody else. But I can sit here and be the best Christian I can try to be. But if God's will is for me to be a missionary in some other country, and I say, no, this is where I need to be. I mean, I can serve God here. I'm not in the place of blessing. The example is this was years ago, but there are missionaries to Pakistan, the Kaloran family. And I don't know if you can have missionaries over there now, unless you'd probably be in jail or something. But they were over there, and their parents, I don't know if it's both sets or just one set of the parents, but they weren't saved. Very burdened about their parents. They were from Alberta. But they said, God's calling us there. And they said, we want to stay home and be with our parents so we can witness to them, get them out to church and all that. But they said, we know that God wants us in Pakistan as missionaries. And they said that if we don't go, then we're out of the will of God and He won't hear our prayers. So we will have a better chance of seeing our parents saved being in Pakistan, away from them, than staying there in Alberta. And I believe that's true. We need to be where God wants us to be. But as I mentioned that just before I started reading the text here, we all have a soft spot in our heart for this place. There's many people that can take you to a certain church. I heard of a preacher that was somewhere down in the south, and he had an older man come and take him to see this ghost town. It was an old coal mining town. And they got there. There's hardly anything left of the town. It was, you know, the road they had to stop and then walk in because it had just been deserted. The coal mine shut down and everybody left. Just a small town. But they got there and there's a fireplace still sitting there and different things that were still going on. But he got to the old church building and he said that he went there and all there was a metal roof and everything underneath had collapsed. But here's the metal roof still sitting there. And he said, I was right over here in this corner. And it was so vivid in this older man's mind. He said, I was right here and got down on my knees. And the deacon in the church led me to the Lord. And it was very special to him. Didn't look like much, but it was all the world to him. And it would be. But, you know, we can think of that. And I still remember that couch where I was on when I asked the Lord into my heart. I remember the events that led up to it. I knew what I was going to do. Because I put it off. I said, I'm going to get saved tonight. I'm going to ask the Lord into my heart and all those things. And I just waited for a nice quiet time and, you know, I was out there in nature and just enjoyed God's creation. But it was special to me. And what we need to do. Sometimes, even if it's not the place you got saved, maybe it's a place where you got right. Maybe it was you went to a certain meeting and God spoke to your heart. Maybe God called you to something, or maybe God just got you to make some decisions to say, yes, I'm not living for God. I need to live for God now. Whatever it is. I remember for early in my Christian life, the way my work schedule was, I only worked till about noon on Thursdays, 11 or 12, whatever it was, a very short day. And I would go home, went down in the basement, and I just had my little, kind of like a little office room or whatever down there, and I would read my Bible down. Thursday was my big study day. And I would put on some tapes that would go through a certain book of the Bible in teaching, and I just enjoyed that so much. And I had my highlighter and my pencil, and you know, I bought a special pen just for my Bible. You know, it was I don't even know what it's called, Pigger Graphical or something, I don't know, something, I don't know what I'm thinking of here. But anyways, I remember it's not supposed to bleed through, it doesn't skip, and you know, very neat pen, just for my Bible. I kept it in a certain spot, and and at the time, I enjoyed it, but it meant a lot more to me later on, because I remember those times when I could spend that time communing with the Lord, reading His Word, listening to these tapes, praying, and different things. And sometimes we get away from those things, and we need to go back to Bethel, as it were, whatever that is in your life. And now, as I said here in the Bible, for Jacob, it was a place, a physical place. But it can also be a state of being, a position that you might be in. Maybe there was a time that's when I was serving God. I used to do this and this and this, but I've gotten away from it. Oh, I'm still doing this and this, but there was a time that maybe we did something more. And that's the Bethel in your life. When we look at Jacob's life, you know, he was told to go get a wife. His father Isaac had blessed him, and he said, "You know, I want you to choose wisely when you know a wife of a godly wife." Now, Esau, on the other hand, he didn't want to heed his father's advice. He was mad at his father. He wanted to go against what his dad said, and he went and married two Canaanitish women, which was just to make his dad upset. Jacob knew that Esau might be after him, and he was very worried, so he left. He spent his time trying to get a wife and ended up with more than one. But he eventually comes to Peniel. We read that story. He has the dream earlier. God blesses. It meant something to him. God spoke to his heart, showed him, revealed something to him, and he made a vow to God. And then he heads out. But at Peniel, he gets a little worried, and sometimes some impending dangers or concerns or perils cause us to look to the Lord a little bit more. And it's not just, you know, smooth sailing. There's some disruption. And he got his wives, his children aside, and he got alone with God. And that's where he read about in chapter 32, where the angel of the Lord had wrestled with him. And sometimes, it's unfortunate, but sometimes God has to break us before he can use us, and before he's going to bless us. I've heard from a preacher, he said, that before God greatly uses somebody, he has to break that person. That's scary. That is sad. But I also heard, we were talking about Brother Henderson, and he said there's some people, when they get saved, it's just like they're brought right into the presence of God, and they've just got this anointing on them. They've just got something special, and everybody else is just fighting, banging their head up against the wall and resisting God. And you know, and we're talking even preachers. I'm not just talking about somebody that just got saved and maybe comes to church. I'm talking about people who are supposedly seasoned Christians, but you know, we just resist and we fight and we don't get what God's trying to do, and it takes all this time in the wilderness before we get to the promised land with God and a good relationship with Him and know how to get our prayers answered. But we see here how Jacob is wrestling and with this angel. And he says that the angel saw that he prevailed not, so he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, and it was out of joint. And there is an effect for the rest of his life because of that. When's the last time we ever wrestled with God in prayer? When's the last time that said, "I will not let you go until you bless me"? When's the last time we ever said, you know, "God, we want revival. God, I want to see this lost loved one saved. God, please, do something. Get their attention. Get their heart. Soften them." bring them to a place of repentance. And after that happened, he said, he called the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face. Interesting, you know, you drive around, you see the names of different streets, and there's, off of Highway 35, there's Peniel. And that's not just coincidence. Ministry of Transportation person didn't just say, that's a good name, but somebody that had some Christian influence said that name. You look around the area, you know, Mount Horeb, and, you know, different names in the area. It's always interesting what has happened. And you look on old maps, or just a map of the United States in the South, you know, Dothan, Alabama, and where they come from, Bible names, you know, Ebenezer, there's places called that, but names that are, and words that are in the Bible, and so on. But sometimes God has to break us to bless us. A little bit after this, Jacob heads out to Succoth, where his daughter was defiled, Dinah. And the story is that then his sons got upset about that, that rightly so, but they went and did something not very nice, and they killed all the men of this town, this tribe. And while there, God said to him again, said to Jacob, go back to Bethel. But he also had to tell him to put away the strange gods. I believe that was verse. See if I got the verse here for that one. 35 verse 2. There it is. Jacob said unto his household, okay, verse 1, he just says, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. God told him. And verse 2, then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean and change your garments, and let us arise. You know, so every time you go to do something for God, you're arising. You're not going down to some place. And go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. Interesting that when you want to get back to that place, let's say if it's not a physical place, it's a position of your heart, a place where you once were in communion with the Lord and so on. What we need to do is get rid of those strange gods. What were they doing with them? You know, they're supposed to be God's people. But he had to go and tell his family, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean. John said in the New Testament, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I don't know what their gods were. I know, we know from Rachel hiding them. You know, they had some little images from her father, Laban, but little idols. We may not have a little idol sitting somewhere that, you know, that we have as our false god, but sometimes there are the little things that creep in, you know, the wrong stuff to read or the wrong associations, different things that we would entertain, maybe the wrong music. Sometimes, you know, people call themselves Christians and you wonder about them because of the things that they sort of do. And we know some people struggle and some people want to do right, but they have this struggle with certain things. But I think it was Joe Boyd. He said about Christians who smoke. And he said, why do they smoke? You know, they shouldn't be smoking. Call yourself a Christian, shouldn't be smoking. And he said, yeah, I won't send you to hell. It'll just smell like you've been there. And that's true. We think of the prodigal in the New Testament, obviously the story about the prodigal son. He went out there. He was blessed where he was and he didn't know it. But when you get away from that and you get out there and let the world beat on you for a while, you think, you know, it really was nice back there. Serving God, being, in his case, being home. I mean, his dad was rich. Sure, he had some chores to do, but he was there getting food. He was there, you know, good clothes and everything. When he got out, away from that, he didn't have the blessing. He had a curse. He's out there feeding hogs. Starving. Lost all his money. No friends. But he came to himself in humility. That's the way we need to go. We need to go humbly and come back to God. Back to that place. Back to Bethel. I admire Christians that, not for doing wrong, but when they have done wrong, that they will own up to it and keep serving God and stay there. I've heard about pastors that did something that probably disqualified them, and instead of just leaving, and no one ever sees them again. They stay there. There's church discipline, and there's been people that will just sit at the back, quiet, not get involved in anything, but they'll be there, they'll be faithful, and it takes a lot of courage because people kind of might look at you funny or something. But so what? It's the right thing to do. And they stay there. Most of us just want to, I blew it. I'm not going to make it right. And until they make that right, there will never be true blessing in their family, in their life. And they got to just get over it, make it right. And that's what we need to do. But I admire them. And the prodigal, he came back humbly to a place of blessing. He didn't expect it, but there it was. He said, I'll just be one of your servants. And they had a big party. You know, here's the robe, kill the fatted calf. You know, ring for your fingers and for your toes and all these things. In chapter 35, it says in verse 6, so Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel. And remember, he changed the name to it, because to him that's what it was. He and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. Now he's changed it or added to that name a little bit. The place was called Luz. He called it Bethel, which means house of God. That's what Bethel means, house of God. And he is there now again, the third time. God has told him to come back. And he built an altar. This place meant something to him. And now he's changed it to the God of the house of God. To him, it was now not just a place, not just an event, an answered prayer. Now it was God. He had come to that point that what he wanted was God. Sometimes, you know, we'll pray, and what our real desire is we want answered prayer. We don't want God. We want the prayer that he can give us an answer to. And that's a mistake. And that's why we're not aiming right in our Christian life. We say, we want to see souls saved. And that's true. We want to see people saved. But we may do everything we can to reach that. But why do we want to see them saved? Ultimately, it's to bring glory to God. It's not for our glory. It's not a notch in our belt. It's not so we can brag about it. It's to bring glory to God. It's to keep people out of hell, but ultimately it's to bring glory to God. Everything that we do, the church grows. It's for the glory of God. Missionaries get supported. It's not just, hey, look, we're getting more missionaries. I mean, that's exciting, but it's got to bring glory to God. Everything we do has to be to further God's kingdom, to bless Him. And sometimes, as I said, we want answered prayer so much, and we get frustrated, and we don't see answers to prayer, and we're wondering why, and we think, okay, I'm going to clean up my life. I don't want sin interfering with my prayer, and all good things to do, but we really don't want God, and that's a problem. We need to see Him, and that's what He finally came to. He said, oh, it's a house of God, answered prayer. I had this vision of the angels ascending and descending. I went there, and I wrestled. I wanted a blessing, and He got a blessing. He got protection, and God blessed him and took care of him and protected him. But he comes back now, a third time, and says he built an altar and called it El Bethel, the God of the house of God, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. I wonder if we ever get back to that kind of a place. We need to. We need to get back to a place of blessing. We said, how many people here want answered prayer? I think we'd all raise our hands. Sure we do. But how many of us want God? And we would probably on the surface say yes, but if we really looked at our motives, we'd probably say no. Now, we're not going to say that out loud, but if we really looked at it, that's probably what it is. We need to get back to that place of surrender, back to a place of humility in our own lives, before God, back into the Bible, back to where God can speak to our heart, back to the presence of God. It's time to come back to that blessing of God. We need that blessing of God. We see that all the different things, I mean, he wasn't a model character, Jacob. He had problems. Well, thank God, God can use that. God can use us. He can't use our bad attributes. But, I mean, God uses us. In a sense, maybe God can use some, he can't use our sins, but our bad attributes, sometimes he can use those things. But all things work together for good. But God used him. God blessed him. Sure, he had lots of problems, lots of difficulties, lots of setbacks. People were, you know, obviously Laban wasn't so good to him. And, you know, Esau, a man that was not a good character, is very fleshly, cared about the pottage rather than his spiritual blessing. You know, sold that birthright for a mess of beans. And then got mad and really wanted to kill Jacob. But later on, he forgives him. And what was interesting, if we look at Esau, and I'm going to take a little aside here, we look at Esau as being very evil and very bad, and if you look at his descendants, they were, but Esau came to a place where he forgave him. But all that time, in the meantime, where he harbored that evil, I believe that got into his family and everything, and that got carried on, even though he personally didn't mind. He said, Jacob, it's okay, I forgive you. And that, but all that years that had passed, he harbored that evil in that in his heart, and I believe that, that went through his descendants. And they were destroyed, Edom. But Jacob had the hard times, had the children that didn't obey, had his daughter who ended up getting raped, and all the bad things that happened. But yet, he knew where to go for blessing. We think we have problems. We think we have things that are messed up in our lives. Get back to Bethel. Where is your Bethel? Where is that place? Maybe we've never had, maybe you got saved and that's about it. And how sweet is that place? Do you remember the time when you asked the Lord into your heart? I think of so many testimonies, I don't want to just tell stories here tonight, but so many testimonies about people who remembered who it was that led them to the Lord or this exact situation and the relief, the sweetness of that. That's the day I got saved and testimony after testimony. And you know everything they've looked at, everything they've gone into, and nothing, 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 no hope, no nothing, dead end, and then they get saved. And they rejoice in that day. And we're supposed to keep serving God that way. We're supposed to be in that love relationship with the Lord. But many times we're not. Where is that place of blessing? Where is the God of the house of God? Where is that for you? Do we have one? I heard of a evangelist that had come up to Canada and he visited somebody down in the States. And he said this guy would go on his property, had a little bit more land, and they went back, there was a creek. And he said, this is the place I pray. And there were imprints from his knees in the ground, in hard ground, where he went every day. I guess it didn't snow down there, wherever it was, but where he would pray. And he said, I want you to pray here for me. So he said, I felt so honored because this was such a special place. It was a piece of ground and a tree. But that was his special place. And this man would pray there. And he got Brother Monday, the evangelist, to pray right there. And he said, I felt so honored that this guy would take me to his special place of prayer. We think of sometimes the grandma. You know, little children grow up and they see grandma sitting in the rocking chair reading her Bible. You know, a certain time of day. And just those things that give us that, you know, it may be a feeling, but there was something real there. That's where grandma would weep over her Bible. That's where she would read the Bible and pray. What a blessing to have that heritage. Interesting, you look at a lot of people that are saved, and there's a grandma somewhere in the story. I know with Nathaniel and Aaron, you know, there's a grandma. I know in just listening to another message by a young preacher, the guy was wild as a young teenager, in and out of court and everything as a 13, 14 year old, and they said there's no hope for you, and he was going to face a long term in reformatory or whatever if they still have those things, whatever they put teenagers in, and the judge said there's no hope for you, I threw your father in jail and the same's going to happen to you when you turn 21, you're going to go to the penitentiary. And so they said the only thing they could do was send him to a Christian home. Well, he ended up getting saved in there, but he found out he had a grandmother who was always praying. And thank God for that. And thank God for that kind of a heritage. But where is that Bethel for you? And why don't we set up one? You know, it didn't mean much that to Jacob, that way back that his father was told, you know, you need to stay here. But when it became a personal blessing to him, God revealed something to him at that place. And he had the dream, the vision. And he took the rock for a pillow, and we know the story. But there he was. He got a blessing from God. Then it became special. Why don't we allow God to create that force, to create that place in our heart, the position that we need to be in, or even if it is a physical place. Jesus talked about, when you pray, go to your closet. You know, do we have that place where we can go? It will become special. You know, you might say, well, I'm sitting in the living room with my Bible, I can pray here, but there's something about maybe going to that other room, the den, the basement, the bed next to the chair next to the bed, whatever it is, and that's the place where you just feel that I have a communion here with God. There's nothing special to anybody else about that. It's not an idol. It's not that chair or, you know, whatever. It's not that tree outside. It's just the fact of some place where you can be, where you and God got alone and God blessed. We need to get back there. And even if it's not a physical place, it's a state, a position of the heart. And that's really what it needs to be. And if that sitting in a special chair just helps you relax and take your mind off things, go for it. But it's really the place in your heart. What we need is to focus on how can I get God's blessing? How can I get God? And then examine our desires. What do we desire? Do we desire things or do we desire God? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We need to get to the place of surrender, humility, where God can speak to us in the presence of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you. I believe it was a short message. But I just pray that you'd help us to be like Jacob and get to that place of blessing. And I pray you bless the rest of the service now in Jesus' name. Amen. I do want to read another verse. Actually, it has something to do with the message, so I'm not 100% done. You don't need to turn there. Hebrews chapter 11. The Hall of Fame, the Hall of Faith. It talks about all these great things that these Christians did. And it talks about Jacob. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. That's it. Then it goes on to Joseph. What was so great about leaning on top of a staff, blessing your children? Well, it was that he had established something. There was a Bethel in his life. And there he was. That leaning on that staff meant something. There was something that he had met with God. And that was passed on into his family.